Listen-only mode.
Good afternoon, everybody. Joe Varnador here. Happy Thursday. Gosh, a week until Christmas Eve. So, wow, time's moving awfully fast. All right, so let me start out here. Hey, Dave Fernecki, can you hear me? Dave? Dave, can you hear me? All right, no worries. I'm going to leave you unmuted, David, or you can simply just shoot me a text if you want to and let me know what's going on, or send a type in a question. Okay, you're on, but I can't hear you. Okay. All right, no problem. Couple of things here. I'm going to start out with Dave's one of Dave's deals here, or a question that Dave had. And then we'll come back to a couple of other things as we kind of move through this. And this one was very interesting as far as the type of question it is. And I wish I could talk to David. This is a good and interesting little topic here. Let's see. Give me just a second, guys. All right. Bob Bullinger, can you hear me?
Yeah, Joe.
Well, I'm
How you doing,
make,
buddy?
I'm going to make you the color commentator here because it just drives me nuts to feel like I'm just talking to a screen. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. All right. So I have to laugh at your jokes. Is that the point?
You can just do like Ed McMahon used to do and say, "Hey-o!"
Can you hear me, Joe?
What's that? Okay. So David Fernecki had an interesting question here, and this is something that for those of you that have been around the note business for a little while, question is I was asked if I'd consider buying future lease payments on a commercial building as a receivable. Is that a play? Let's see. So I can read. Is that a play? If so, how do I do this, and how do you price something like this? You know, years ago, and you guys have heard me talk about them as well, but there was a company out there called Metropolitan Mortgage and Securities, and they were a big dog in the note space. As a matter of fact, they were one of the biggest and best companies that. That was out there, and Eddie sold thousands of notes to them, and I sold thousands of notes to Metropolitan, and they were a great company. And after they it was during the performing period. There wasn't really any non-performing stuff out there to buy, and so they were a great company. So they decided that. And by the way, they bought about $500 million a year in paper from people like Eddie and I and all of you guys out there as well. And as a matter of fact, Melissa and Sheila from Allied used to run their closing department. So when you hear Eddie or myself talk about Melissa or Sheila having an abundance of experience in the closing area, well, they do. And so Metropolitan decided that they wanted to get into some alternative cash flows. So a couple of the things that of alternative cash flows that they got into was they would buy billboard leases, and they would buy cell phone tower leases, and they would buy I sold them a lease on a coal mine in Kentucky once. And last time I saw Sheila and Melissa, we were joking about that because they had forgotten that I had done that because it had been many years. Well, it was back in the mid-90s, and it was literally the lease on a coal mine in Kentucky, and they called it the pink file, and they remember closing that with me. So anyway, leases on commercial buildings was something that they explored as well. So what Dave is asking is, you know, what if is there someone out there that would purchase this type of cash flow? And if there was, what would it look like, or you know, how would you quote something like that? First of all, I'm about 99% sure that Colonial, we wouldn't want to buy something like this, not because it's just, you know, because it's not something that is marketable. It's just something that just doesn't fit inside of Colonial's investment model right now. But there could be other companies out there, Dave, that would look at buying something like this. So let me kind of pose you a scenario here of how this would look. So I own a commercial building, and I have a 10-year lease with a named tenant. So let's say that I'm leasing to a dollar store, and let's say maybe it's a 15-year lease. And there is no out clause. It is a true 15-year lease. If they move out of the building, then they have to either write a check and pay the lease off, or if they were to close the business, whatever it looks like, they would continue paying that lease payment. And typically those are going to be a triple net lease, which means the tenant is paying the taxes and the insurance and the common area maintenance. So most of these Walgreens buildings that you see in CVS, they are Walgreens CVS will go in and build those and start the business, and then they will sell those leases, or they'll sell the building and the property, and then they'll do a 20-year lease on the building. So anyway, that way they get their money back and so on. Or they'll sell the buildings and take the cash flow. So anyway, David, I would not. It really is going to depend on the type of tenant that you have, or that this building would have, and it would depend on their creditworthiness, their ability to pay over a long period of time. I can certainly tell you that most likely anybody that would buy it would only buy a partial. So if there was a 10-year lease remaining, they may buy 2 or 3 or 4 years of the lease. So if it was $100,000 a year lease, $8,000 a month or something like that, and they would buy maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years of the lease. So again, it's going to really depend on what the tenant looks like, who they are. If you're renting to a local mom and pop operation, probably that there's not a play there. But if it was a national tenant, a dollar store, Family Dollar, just any type of GameStop or a Verizon store or something like that, where you have a national tenant in there, and that would be something that would have a value to it. And just understand that the discount is going to be fairly large, and it's going to be fairly large because, remember, there's not an interest rate on this. So if we're taking it from a 0% interest rate, and we're looking at a 12 or a 14 or a 10 or whatever yield you're looking for, then it's going to take a pretty big hit as far as the discount. Bob, does that make sense? Did I explain that good enough, you think?
I think you did an excellent job.
Yeah.
The one thing that that comes to mind with me is that I don't know what I don't know.
Right.
Are there other factors involved here? Because, you know, what is our, quote, collateral? We can have a national company, but what was it, 8-10 years ago, Blockbuster was a huge national company. Mm-hmm. Now I think they're belly up. So what do we know about that industry of whatever that national company is? And it's going to take a lot of additional due diligence. And, again, it's I don't know what I don't know, so I'm not sure I know what questions to ask. I'd be highly concerned about the collateral for the money that we have there. And with a partial, you minimize that, but still, that's a concern to me. A hard asset like real estate is, to me, a lot safer.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and that's what you would have to. I mean, let's look at over the years. I mean, who would have thought 10, 15 years ago that what was that? Wasn't Best Buy the Circuit City? I mean, that was a huge company. And by the way, Dave, I do have you unmuted, so don't know what the situation is there. But yeah, I mean, that would have been a that would have been nobody would have bet against Circuit City, or nobody would have been. Would have bet against Blockbuster and that type of thing. But we see that the market changed. Who would have thought that Kmart would have been almost out of business 15 years, well, maybe 15 years ago, but but yeah, it's that's a tough side of the business. I don't see really anyone in here on the call or really doing what we're doing. I think there's enough stuff out there for us to buy with a whole lot less risk than this, because you're strictly basing it on the ability of a company being able to pay. Now, you know, if you had Apple, if you had an Apple computer store that was leasing, and they wanted to sell the owner of the property wanted to sell 2 or 3 years of that cash flow. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, every one of us would probably jump to, you know, to try to do something like that. But again, you know, Apple's lost 100 and what, $38 billion in the last weekend in stock value. Not that they're going anywhere, but you just never know. It certainly would depend on though the strength of the borrower. And I, you know, I have a few little commercial buildings myself, and I try to keep national tenants in them. And what they do is, if you've got like a Jersey Mike's or you've got like a Verizon store that's owned by Verizon, whatever that looks like, they will give me a rent guarantee, even though that is a franchise location. The reason they do that is because you may have a great operator that's a good operator for a while running that franchise, but they may go out and buy a new boat and a new house and all of that and go out of business. And so it just really doesn't make sense for them not to guarantee those leases, because they'll put another lessee back in that, or another franchisee back in that to run it. So anyway, I, David, I would most likely just pull away from that and not deal with it. I would let them know that unless you know someone, another, you've done some research and you know somebody else out there in the marketplace that would be looking at something like this, then I don't think it's a play, and I think you'd probably be wasting your time. Let's look at some questions here based on that. Oh, happy holidays to you, Miss Lisa. Let's see, partial will work, and David said, can you help price a deal? David, sure, I'd be happy to try to price it with you. You'll just have to decide what kind of yield you would be looking for. And again, remember, this is a zero, that this lease payment is a zero coupon deal. So whatever it is, it's going to be kind of high. You'll have to take it from zero to whatever yield someone would be looking for. Let's see. Lisa says, I know an expert in Dallas who has done commercial for over 20 years. Connect. Good. That's somebody that we would need to let David know, David Fernecki. And if you want to send me that information, Lisa, I'd be happy to pass that along. Charles Sullivan, point of reference, McDonald's is paying a whopping 3.5% cap rate. That's exactly right. So consider that number to be the gold standard. Yeah, you're exactly right. What most people don't understand is that really McDonald's is in the real estate business and not in the burger business. The guy that's owns the McDonald's franchise is in the burger business. You don't get to own your McDonald's real estate, or that's completely different with Burger King or Wendy's. I have some very good friends that have about a dozen Burger King restaurants and about a dozen Popeyes restaurants, and you own your real estate there in Burger King and Popeyes, and I'm not sure about Wendy's. It may be the same way, but again, yeah, the gold standard is somewhere around 3.5%, and if you understand what the cap rates are, guys. That's a very low rate of return on your. That's a 3.5% rate of return cash on your investment. So, anyway, good stuff. So, Dave, again, I would if you want to use it as a learning experience, I wouldn't put a whole lot of time into it. But certainly you can look into it and see what comes out of it. It'd be a good exercise for all of us to have a look at it on another call. All right, let's see. Let's go back here. Let me see if we've got any hands raised. Nope, looks like everyone is pretty quiet today. Miss Jackie, we're going to get to your 50-50 model in just a second. As a matter of fact, why don't we go ahead and do that? Hey, Zarina, you online?
I am.
How are you?
Just kind of hanging out. I had to kick my mom out of her own room.
Did you really?
I did.
Wow, you're so cruel.
She said, can I take a nap? I was like, no, because you snore. She was like, I don't snore all the time. So I said, get out.
Oh, it's like my English teacher said. She said, can I do this? I said, I don't know. You can. You can, but you may not, or something like that, to get me to
can,
right? Yeah, yeah, proper English.
Right.
All right, so let me see. Miss Jackie, let me find her on here, and let's get her unmuted. Hey, Jackie, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you today?
You know what? As Dave Ramsey would say, better than I deserve.
There you go.
There you go. Okay, so you're working on a 50-50 deal.
No, I'm working on a wrap.
He's working on a wrap.
Well, Zarina, I would love to hear Jackie rap. Can you rap for us a little bit? I'll do the in the background if you.
Hey, that was pretty good.
Rap going, yeah.
I'll work one up for you for next year, 2016. Jay.
Okay, that sounds like a plan, Jackie. So we've got a 50. And, Drina, I sent that to you. Is there any way you can kind of work through that?
Yeah, I'll let's see.
So, Jackie, here's looks like what we have here. Did you take over the screen?
I did.
You're a good girl. How'd you do that by your just without even my permission there? Just took it up.
Do you want it back?
No, you're good.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so Jackie, talk to us a little bit about what's going on here. Is this one you're working on with somebody else, or is this a deal that you're selling of your own, or are you just trying to help somebody put a deal together?
The first foreclosure I did 2 years ago, I sold to a woman who ended up being a former sorority sister of mine at Carolina in the 60s.
Wow.
She and her husband bought the place so that she could take care of her father, who is in his 90s. And so they moved into my property and then put the father's property and their property on the market.
Okay.
And neither have sold in the year and so that she's been there. In the meantime, her husband dropped dead suddenly, so now she's sitting with her 90-year-old father, and she's a recent widow, and she's, you know, sort of trying to figure out what in the heck she's going to do. So,
correct.
Her property value is $225, and she has a $162 existing. Right before he died, they put it. They got a new mortgage. So this is brand new mortgage.
It's 12 months.
Okay. So I'm trying to figure out some options for her, and I haven't talked to her about any of this because I want to make sure she has a man who wants to give her $10,000 down payment and pay $1,000 a month.
Okay.
What I'm saying is maybe one of our options is to do seller financing with a wrap, with him paying those orange payments in column E. And
can you make that a little bigger?
Sure. You sound like Eddie.
Okay. So what I'm trying to do is use this real-life example to figure out what the heck I'm doing with wraps because okay. I've never done one, and I'm trying to learn.
Okay, so everybody should know the definition of a wrap is you've got it. There's a lien on this property, And the definition really is taking a larger, higher interest rate, longer term loan, and wrapping around the smaller underlying lien. Okay, so the wrap really is, the wrap part of that is really kind of a second, but it's really not. It's a hybrid. We've used them in the real estate world for years, and they work out really well. And we would do this as a land contract as well, Jackie, so that wouldn't trigger a due on sale clause inside of the underlying lien.
Okay.
So the due on sale would, what would happen if they if you recorded that, it could trigger, or the title transferred, the deed transferred, then that would trigger the due on sale clause. So you'd just hold the deed in trust until sometime in the future when it refinanced or it paid off, and then it would be a non-issue. So we've got a property value of $225. And let's see, explain these columns here. So this guy's only has $10,000 that he can put down on this.
Right, and I did not put that in. This is straight off of your website as of today, this morning early, okay? So I'm basically filling it in, trying to understand what I'm doing. Well, I did not put the $10,000 in it, so that
So Jackie, what's the sales price of the, what would she sell it? $225.
Actually, the property's value is $240,250. She has an appraisal for $250 on it that's less than a year old.
Okay.
But she's willing to sell it for $225.
Well, I mean, the first thing I would say is, why would she? I would bump the price up a little bit more than the $225. If she's already agreed to it, then you know we're too far down that road, but. So if she sold it for $225, $10,000 down, so we would have a $215,000 wrap, which I guess the existing terms is what we see here, and that's it's a 30-year at 3.25.
Correct. That is the existing finance terms is 30 years at 3.25, and it's 1 year old.
What's the monthly payment on that, Jackie?
Well, it's not 705. She told me they'd just gone up on the escrow, and it was now close to $1,000.
So really?
I'll have to go back and check with her. I thought I had the right numbers, but again, work it as we are now, and I'll adjust the numbers when I go verify them.
Well, you can finesse it a little bit if you needed to. So. What kind of rate was she looking at? Looks like you've got. Well, did you plug her?
5.25.
Okay, there's a rate.
I put 5.25 in there. I'm just trying to figure out what I ought to be talking.
Well, Zarina, why don't we plug that in at about 6% instead of 5.25? And again, is she going to look to sell this at some point in time, or is she just looking for income?
No, she's looking to sell it to this man who wants to give her $10,000 and pay $1,000.
Is she going to look at selling this the note once she has it, once she sees it?
Oh, she's going to hold this.
I think she's going to hold. She's, like I said, she's just recently widowed. She needs to do nothing, really. You know, she might sell it in the future, but she has no need. Well, she doesn't have any real need. She's not desperate for money, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, here's the challenge with that. We're really not, if we were talking about creating a marketable loan, first thing we would talk about doing would be getting more of a down payment, because we're going to run into not a yield issue if she looked at selling this. We would look at more of a loan, an investment to value issue. So if you were looking at a maximum 70% or investment to value, so the loan would automatically be worth 70% of whatever that is. So if it was 225 and we call that the value times 70%, the loan would only be worth $157,500, which is not even enough to pay off the underlying lien. You, does that make sense?
So what you're saying is she's already maxed out her ability to loan against this property.
Exactly. So the only way you could cure that would be to get a much larger down payment. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that, well, Zarina, what would the payment, so the payment at, oh, here's the other thing, Jackie, when you create a wrap, and if she wanted to sell this, she would have to sell it all because the underlying first would have to be paid off.
Correct.
You couldn't go out and sell 50 payments to get $40,000 or, you know, I'm just pulling a number out. She couldn't go out and sell a partial because any investor that would be out there would want to be in a first position, and they really aren't. They're in a second position when they're buying and the wrap is still there. So anything they paid would be subject to that underlying first lien on this, which is $160,000. Follow me?
Yes. Then what is those columns J, K, and L on the right for?
Zarina, let's see. J, K.
J, K, and L is a purchase price for the note.
The whole note. Everything.
Yeah.
The whole wrap. Yep.
Both the first and the wrap.
Well, it's a price for the wrap. And the difference of the price and the underlying is where the profit is. So, say for instance, we went here, it'd be 173, but this underlying 162 would be paid off first. So this only price is for what the wrap is created.
Hey, Zarina, and let's go back, slide back over there, because if you were doing it, if you were doing it at 225 with $10,000 down, your beginning loan amount would be $225,000. So let's use, I'm sorry, $215,000. So we really,
yeah, I plugged in 95 here to try to get as close to 215
right,
as possible.
Gotcha. So I see that. Okay.
Okay, 216. That's close enough.
Right.
And that's why I was using this row, because this was the closest to what we're looking for.
Right.
And so this note, you know, at various prices, you would have to, I mean, this here is really tight, 12%, and her underlying's 162 already. That's very tight, and then you got closing and everything like that. But that would be more realistic to what she has currently, which is why you definitely need either to change the sales price and get more down, or, I mean, something has to be adjusted here.
Right. So I have $240 with $20,000 down, that would change it just a bit. Remember that whatever the down payment would be, Jackie, is what she's putting in her pocket. And at the end of the day, that may be all that she gets out of it is what she's putting in her pocket as a down payment. That's just you know, the way it is that any investor would look at that underlying. So do that, Drina. Change the Mount Finance to say property value 240, and we're selling it with 20,000. So we're just really still just doing a 220 loan. And let's do it at 7% versus 6%. And again, what does this gentleman look like that she's talking about selling it to? I mean, I don't care what he looks like. I care what his, you know, what's his credit like.
Trying to get a date, Joe. What's he look like?
He had this with a realtor for a year, and I've got a couple of questions. But anyway, the story is she had it with a realtor for over a year, and they didn't really bring her anybody. The realtor started it off at 297 and took it down over the year from 297 to 225. She has, as I said, an appraisal on it of 250.
Right.
The man that came to see her is probably credit is okay. He's bringing his father in to look at the house in the next couple of weeks. The father is an attorney, which is sort of, you know, whoops. And so anyway, I'm just trying to figure out if there's anything at all. Now, he said that he'd been pre-approved for $1,000 a month, and he had $10,000 he could put down, I mean, pay per month. So, I mean, $1,000 a month and $10,000 down. So Now, what I didn't understand about this spreadsheet was there's a property value up there, and I know understand that's fair market value, but there's no loan amount up there. In other words, don't you calculate some of these things off of loan to value? And
you calculate it on versus the loan amount, which the wrap amount really is what the loan amount would be.
Mm-hmm.
That column D, Jackie.
Okay.
So just understand when you do a wrap mortgage, the new wrap, the new lien or the new loan in this case, and the first one there would be $192,000. That $192,000 new wrap land or wraparound land contract is subject to the $162,000 underlying lien.
So the wrap becomes the new loan. Okay, I've got that.
The new loan amount. That's correct. So, and what she then, and here's the way that usually looks. So it gives you a little bit of arbitrage, I guess, or, you know, being able to kind of play with the money. But so the thought process would be that she's got $160,000 underlying lien at 3.25%. If she loaned it, if she did a wrap at $190,000, and let's just use $192,000, then she would be getting 2.75% spread on the $162,000 underlying lien, and then she would be getting a 6% rate on the $30,000 or whatever it is between the underlying lien and the wrap amount. The problem is with this, and Zarina, so that's the payment in column E there. If it were $192,000 and she put down and that was the wrap amount, then the payment, principal and interest, is the $1,151. So what is the payment? What should the payment be, Zarina, on the underlying? Well, I can figure it out right here real quick. So let's look. So we've got $162,500. I was just looking for the P&I payment at 3.25. For 30 years done. And okay, so the payment on that would be $707. So the P&I payment on the wrap on 192 would be $1,151. So she'd have 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. She'd have about $300 a month in positive cash flow. If this guy can only afford $1,000 a month, Jackie, then we've got a tax. So if the payment on this is around $1,000 right now, the taxes and insurance are running a little over $300 a month. So this guy at a payment of $1,151 is going to be in at about $1,500 a month PITI. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay. So based on that, I'm not really sure, unless she just thinks she needs a little extra income, or you were to put a balloon in this so that you could see an end to it. Because this is going to stay on her credit report, number one, that this loan is. So that would hamper her ability. I mean, if she's substantial, it probably wouldn't make any difference, right? But if she were to go out and try to borrow money, and if something happened to her 90-year-old mother, and then she decides she wants to go buy a condo on the beach, this underlying lien is still in her name. So she would have a challenge going out and buying another property if they were looking at debt to income ratio. Now she could say, obviously she could say that, sure, it's I've got it sold and I'm receiving this much, but really she's only getting credited with about $300 a month is what her positive cash flow is on that. So that wouldn't do a whole lot to help her out. So the question,
the thing is, Joe, I think this boils down to that borrower.
Yep.
This could work. I mean, she's got enough equity in the property versus her existing loan to make something work.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is that she's trying to fit it inside of a payment that doesn't work for. I mean, who pays $1,000 a month for a $200,000 house anyway?
Right.
So that's the major problem, and he's only coming with $10,000 down. That's not even 10%. So right. It's the borrower which is causing, you know, it's not going to work.
Here's the thing. Here's the bottom line, Jackie. This really, with this borrower, I wouldn't think that it's a great deal. So what I would suggest to her, if this guy's pre-approved for $1,000 a month payment with $10,000 down, see if he can't qualify to buy the house and just cash her out of it. I mean, yeah. I would love to see you create.
I agree. Can you tell me what is the scenario that the wrap is perfect for?
Okay, so first of all, with the wrap, you need significant equity. So she's got a underlying of 162, or you know, somewhere around there, and then the property's worth, what'd you say it was, 240?
Right.
Okay, so that's a good scenario for a wrap because she has the equity, meaning she has enough to get a down payment and still have the loan amount be high enough over her existing loan. Then on top of that, her loan on this is 325, which I hid that cell. Maybe I should unhide that so people can see it. Unhide. Oops, unhide you. Oops. And so with this interest rate, that's good as well because wraps are seller finance, which are higher interest rates. So if her existing loan was somewhere around 6 or 7, it's not good for a wrap because to wrap over that and still make the payments usually doesn't work. But because her interest rate is 3.25, you can wrap something over this at a 5%, 6% and still be okay. So that's the second scenario. So she's got a check mark here and she's got a check mark here. And then the problem is the borrower. It doesn't work with what he wants. He wants a $1,000 payment a month and only putting $10,000 down. The numbers won't work for him.
He's going to have to find a cheaper house. That's the bottom.
Yeah, it's not for him. But ideally, she can wrap this, just not with that guy.
Okay. All right. I'll go back and talk to her because he wanted to give her an option for $10,000. For her to keep it off the market until a certain date, and I just had breakfast with her yesterday, and you know she cried through most of breakfast. So
pretty emotional right now. So here's what I would suggest: don't make any rash decisions at this point. I wouldn't sign the option with her. And here's the other thing, Jackie: even if this guy went out and borrowed, you know, $200,000 at 3.25%, the payment's still going to be $870 a month, P&I, and you got another $300 a month on top of that. At least you're looking somewhere around $1,200, $1,300 a month, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So this would be ideal if she owed $100,000 on this and you wrapped $200,000. That would be pretty substantial for her. As far as income on that, it's 6%, and I could see that working a whole lot better. I certainly would not do this without putting a balloon in it if she were going to do some type of wrap on this. Now, it could be did they pull some cash out of it and that type of thing when they refinanced it? So they've gotten a benefit there. But just understand that she's not going to be that with owing $162,000 and financing $200,000 with the investment to value ratio situation there, she's not going to be able to sell a partial. She would basically just have to sell a full, and if she sold the full, the discount's going to be somewhere. Like I said, the investment to value based on a $225,000 or $230,000 value is going to be less than what the underlying lien is. So she would literally have to take money to closing, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 to closing to make that work. And that's if he has pretty decent credit. So she needs to go through and she'd have to make this Dodd-Frank compliant. She'd have to make it, you know, she'd need to get an RMLO and look at his debt to income ratio. So it could be a real challenge. It doesn't sound like the debt to income ratio is going to work out in that 45% or so category. So this guy probably isn't the right guy unless she just wanted to sell it to him for $200,000 as a quick sale, she would be better off to do that. Make sense?
Jackie, what you could do on this, you could run, and again, I'm not familiar with this calculator. I've never used it. I've looked at it.
Where does it come from, Zarina?
No, this is in their materials. This is a real deal, you know, calculator. Gotcha. I just never used it because you know how I am with my calculators. I'm finicky. But what you could do is just run probably two really good financing scenarios and just make them cookie cutter. And then when you advertise for seller financing, the person has to match these two deals that you have. So, you know, you come up with a certain down payment and you come up with a certain sales price and everything works and you just find a borrower to fit it. This guy's not that guy, but this is doable. But you have to make sure that you have all your numbers right. I know you said her payment now has gone up to $1,000. You might want to check into why that happened.
I will.
Yeah.
Well,
make the numbers yourself and find somebody to
$1,000 house. If we were in Florida, the taxes alone would be $300 a month. So, I'm just saying, and your insurance would probably be another $300 a month. So you would be looking at $500 to $600 in taxes and insurance. So where I sit. So, yeah, that's kind of what you look at. And we've got a lot of great questions and comments. I'll read it through a couple of these. And Vondelin, you're exactly right. The buyer's on the wrong house. He needs to have at least 10% down and $1,500 a month. And that's exactly right. $10,000 with $1,000 is just not enough spread. You're exactly right as well, Lisa. If she's not desperate, then she really doesn't have to do anything right now. She's probably too emotional. When you said she cried at all through breakfast, you know, everything is real fresh right now. So I would probably just advise her just to take a deep breath, get through the next several months, and then we'll look at it there. Linda also said, since the original loan is still on the seller's credit, does it restrict? Yeah, and you're exactly right. That's what I mentioned a few minutes ago, that again, it's on her credit report. So mm-hmm. The loan is still, for all intents and purposes, it's still in her name.
Well, she wants to know, does that restrict her from buying something else?
Well, it depends on what her debt-to-income ratio is.
Right.
That payment on that, if she makes $10,000 a month or has $10,000 a month in gross income, and we were looking at a 45% debt-to-income ratio, well, that'd be $4,500 a month. And just on this particular house here, she would knock her buying power. And by the way, that 45%, Linda, is all of your installment, all your installment and revolving accounts. So it would be your car payment, your boat payment, not your power and water bill and cell phone bill and that kind of stuff, but it would be all of your monthly credit card bills and any installment revolving debt you have would be included in that 45%. So it would make it real tough to do.
Joe,
yeah.
May I make an observation?
I thought I'd muted you, man. I had Zarina on there. I had dumped you. I dumped you for Zarina.
Excuse me.
I'm just kidding with you, man.
I know. You're focusing on the buyer, but you said the father is an attorney that's going to look at this. Is it possible that he could purchase the property for the full price, bring the closing 162 and have her hold at that point the balance, which ultimately would become a first, and then he, the father attorney, could do whatever he chose with the son.
Right. Well, there's certainly that would be an option as well. As I said a minute ago, if she had $100,000 in equity in this house, I could see her doing a wrap. And it would benefit her in some way, because literally she would be getting a 6% return on the $100,000 wrap part of that. And she'd be mm-hmm. getting some arbitrage. She would be getting some, you know, an increased rate on that $100,000 underlying if she was borrowing it at 3 and then lending it out at 6. So that's mm-hmm. really, I mean, that's really where it needs to be. She really owes too much on this to try to do it. I think it would be more of a pain to her than it would be worth. And she would literally, the only way that she could get out of this would be if she did put a balloon in it and he had the ability to refinance this in with a five-year balloon. So really, again, I think the borrower would be a challenge. If the dad wanted to step up and do something for him, then I think that would be a positive. But other than that, I think I would just kind of move on to something else for her. Again, the loan is just it's a long-term loan. Generally, when you're doing a wrap, you've got a lot of equity. You've got a shorter term loan. Well, she's still got a 30-year loan. If she still owed 10 years on it on the underlying, and she had $100,000 in equity, heck, that'd be a slam dunk. But based on the fact that she owes $160,000 for the next 30 years, and she's got about $50,000 in equity in it, it just doesn't work for me. And I don't really think it's going to work for her as well. I'd rather just see her get a buyer and be done with this. There's some emotional attachment there, but that'll get a little easier for her to deal with over a period of time. I guess her and her husband and her mother were living in that house, Jackie?
No, she and her husband lived in the house, and then her father lived across the street from her.
Gotcha. Okay.
So both houses have been up for sale. The interesting thing is she has a renter in her house right now for $500 a month that wants to move. It's a long story, but everything is good. By the way, this is the wrap calculator that's on the Note School website.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. So if you need it to be different, it would, you know, it's all I'll
I'm
say.
Not going to search any more calculators.
Then you know what you need to do.
I'm not going to mess with anything. I've been calculated out.
Well, and Jackie, just for a minute, and for anybody that's on, understand that you got your property value over here under column B. Then when you run right down here, the wrap amount is going to be what the wrap mortgage or wrap lien would be for. So in this case, and I know you understand it, Jackie. It's just for everybody else. So the wrap would be the wrap amount would be $192,000, and she would have an underlying lien of $162,000. Okay, so the wrap amount would be whatever the wraparound land contract would be, and the other would be the underlying lien. And you've also got to realize, too, just remember if you're looking at doing a wrap or talking with a client about doing a wrap, that if your note owner slash property seller, they can't sell a partial on it unless there's enough there to pay off the underlying lien. So again, that's one of the things you have to look at as well. But again, if this had $100,000 in equity, then I would say, you know, go for it. But since it doesn't, I think I would just advise her to move another way and do that. And it sounds like to me that, Jackie, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, if they've had two houses across the street from each other on the market for well over a year, either A, they're overpriced, or that just isn't a very good market right now.
Well, the problem is the land value is $1.7 million an acre because it's on a creek here in Beaufort. And so the prices for the houses or the properties are skewed based on that.
Jackie?
Yes.
Oh, I lost you there for a minute. They're skewed because of what?
The tax value on the land is $1.7 million an acre.
Right. Okay.
So the house values on the creek here in Taylor Creek in Beaufort are skewed based on that the tax value of the land. So you're right. It's, you know, but that's fine. I understand. I just wanted to make sure I understood the calculations and the concept. I have not talked to her about this.
Right.
I wanted to understand it better before I did.
Well, I think you've got some ammunition to go back with her, and again, I think that's it. I'll tell you, we have Taylor Creek here in Okeechobee, and the property that's adjoining that is certainly not worth $1 million an acre, Jackie. So, oh my goodness, yeah.
Joe, you want the screen back?
Yeah, you can give it back to me, and we'll wrap it up with one quick thing. We can certainly say that. I was talking about properties. We just bought an REO last week, Zarina, and God, it was the first one that we've been able to buy because the price wasn't so crazy in the last right in the last year. That was locally here. So the property was a newly built property in 2006, and the borrower or the property owner paid $192,000 for it. And anyway, we bought the house for $70,000. So we got it at a great, we got it at 30%, 40% of value, and it's truly a paint and flooring flip. But I mean, that's the first one we've been able to buy in 2 years that we could buy at that kind of discount and make it work out. So,
nice.
Yeah, so it was kind of nice. Anyway, let's see. So, Jackie, just continue to befriend this, your old friend here, and just kind of help her along. And again, I wouldn't have her jump to any rash decisions right now anyway, but you can certainly kind of counsel her through it, and it'd be a learning experience for you and for everybody else as well.
Thank you, Joe. She's going to probably do a for sale by owner, so I'll try to help her come up with some ideas on that.
There you go. Absolutely. And why wouldn't she put is the house across the street for sale as well?
Yes, it's still with the realtor, but she's getting very upset about how they're treating her, and I don't blame her. So we'll see.
Be her friend right now, obviously, and it could be something that, there's a lot more equity in the house across the street and that she lived in, so it may be an easier house to start with after this listing agreement runs out and she can move forward with that. That's for sure. All right.
Thank you.
Well, Jackie, I'm just going to keep you on the line here with Zarina and I, and we're going to wrap the call up today with
You've got the screen, Joe. Nobody.
No, I see it. Can everybody see my screen?
No.
Question. It says note information. No. Let's see. Show my screen.
Ta-da.
You see it?
Now we can.
Okay. Very good. All right. So this is just a note that I received he's not a note school student, and I just thought I'd let everybody have a look at it and see if anybody wanted it. And if they wanted it, they can have it. If not, then obviously I may buy it. So little house in Macon, Georgia, South Georgia. And let's see, got a Trulia, Zillow, e-appraisal value. Boy, you look at that. Usually you're seeing the Zillow that would be a whole lot more than the tax assessed value, right? 35,007, and you got a tax assessed value of 48,149. That surely isn't the way you normally see that. But anyway, got an owner occupied little house sold last summer, June 14th of 14, for $45,000, a nice down payment of $13,000. They did a pretty good job in creating this. As far as got 180 month AM, I would have liked to have seen an interest rate of somewhere around 8%. I know, Zarina, we would have people say, well, God, look at that down payment. They put a big down payment on it. But remember that this is a less than $50,000 house. So you're going to expect to pay a little more than the obviously the 8% or 6.5% that this would be on. But anyway, so the principal and interest payment is $278, and if there's another $110 a month that's paid separately for taxes and insurance, 18 payments made and 162 remaining. So all in all, a pretty nice note there as far as looking at the way it was created, other than the interest rate. And again, I'm sure they negotiated that based on a $13,000 down payment. So let's see. Buyer's never been late, have a copy of payment. So it's not third-party service. So anyway, let's just have a look at it and play with it for just a minute. Let's see what we would look at buying this thing for. Let me go here. All right, so it's 162 payments left. If we bought 162 payments at a 35% yield, wow, that would be good. I bet you could buy that at a 35% yield, wouldn't she?
Not so much.
Oh, let's see. What do we think? 14. So there's your $20,243 partial at a 40% ITV, or a full purchase at a at a 14 yield. Sabrina, I don't think I'd do that for less than a 14 yield. Would you?
Maybe not. I might get away with 13. The thing is, it's what's the value of this property again? Like $40,000, maybe?
About $40,000, yeah. Yeah. So if we bought, let's see, if we did the remaining payments again and just change the yield on it to a 13, not going to do a whole lot for them, but another $1,000 or so for the seller. Best thing to do on this one would be a partial, and what would a 60 payment partial look like at about a 15 yield? And voila, about $12,000. So that's probably where I would want to be on something like this. Let's just, for fun of it, let's buy 82 of the payments at a 15, and that would go up to $14,000. So basically what you would be doing, you would be buying about half the remaining payments for about half what the unpaid balance is.
Yeah.
That would be the way you would sell that to the seller or to the note owner on that. What if you did it at a 14? Would that give them a little more? Yeah, I wouldn't do my partial for any less than 14. So anyway, that's just kind of one that I wanted to show you guys. We have any questions here, Zarina?
Is this something that was sent into the desk?
This was a guy that I've done business with for years, so he sent to me first, and I've bought notes from him before. And I'll probably, if I'm not interested, I'll send it into the desk and let Bob see how he would want to price that one and may do it there. But I'm sure Bob's going to be in the 14 range as well.
Probably. I do like that down payment on it. The thing about the interest rate, guys, is that because it's 6.5, when you're putting in your return, that's why it's such a significant discount on this one.
Absolutely. Yeah. If that were an 8%, a 9% rate on that, it would be a whole different story.
Do you have that in your data input? Can you put that in and show them?
Let's just try it real quick. I can
like what if?
Do that. This one, the spreadsheet isn't interactive any longer for some reason.
So
my buddy that, you know, who created that, don't you? Ralph. Ralph created that spreadsheet that I use. So let's just look at it real quick. So what was the beginning balance? It was 32,000. And if it were at 8% and it was for 15 years, boom. See, the payment would have only gone up to 305.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what that would look like based on that. 305.
How many payments did he make?
18 payments have been made, so the balance would be, right now, there's 12, 18. So the current balance would still be about $30,200. 200 and 3200. Okay, so if we looked at that and said, okay, based on, yeah, you see what happened to the pay price with an 8%?
Mm-hmm.
Went up $2,000 based on a 14% yield. So the best way to sell this again would be I'll buy half the payments for whatever the balance is. And that way you could also get a little bit more yield there and say, okay, I'm paying you $15,000 for half the loan.
Right.
So I mean, of course, they could do the math and multiply 305 times 82 and see that that's more. But again, realistically, that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and remember, these sub $50,000 properties, they really should be if seller financing, and if you guys are advising them, they really need to be north 8% or more on the interest rate. These land contracts that we're buying through Colonial, that's where they are. And that's what it is. I mean, they're not subprime, but they're not, I wouldn't call them substandard. It's just that they're less than $50,000.
Right.
All right. Let's see if we have any final questions here, Zarina. Let's see. Linda did say that since the original loan is still on the seller's credit, yes, it does. Escrow went up because she moved out of the house. That could be too. She lost her Vonalyn. She may have lost her homestead exemption. Lisa, great case study. Merry Christmas to everybody from Stu and Tina Johnson up in Canada. And you caught that Canadian language you used, didn't you, Zarina?
In a southern accent, yep.
Southern accent, baby. and Vonalyn, how would I pull a credit report or seller finance on a note? Guys, you know what? We'll end on this. Dave Fernacki, and I'm sure you've heard Dave talk on some of the other calls there, but Dave has found a CoreLogic will actually sign you up and allow you to check credit on your potential borrowers. So yes. CoreLogic, and let me give you guys the phone number. As a matter of fact, the guy just left me a message this morning saying, hey, I'd like to talk with any of your people. So let me get his name. I'm listening to the message. So give me just a second. Guy's name is Bob Snyder, S-N-Y-D-E-R, and he's with CoreLogic, and the number is 770-425-9139. Again, 770-425-9135. And they're pretty inexpensively, Zarina. Dave's going to be paying $3 for a single file.
Really?
And I've paid $6, you know, for the last 20 years for a single file, and like $21, and that's directly through Experian for a tri-merge. And I think they're doing 3 and 8 or something like that for a tri-merge. So the guy's name is Bob Snyder. Yeah, okay. Said CoreLogic is right up the road from you, and they're all over the U.S. What they had to do was they had to visit Dave's home office and use me as a reference. So Bob said, is this guy legit in the note business? And of course I vouched for him and said, absolutely. So yeah. So if you guys are looking to do that and have that ability to do in the new year, certainly give Bob at CoreLogic and he'll set it up so somebody can come check you out and they'll pull your credit and so on, just to make sure that you're legit as well. And if you want to use myself or Zarina or somebody like that as a reference, I'd be let me know and give them my number. And I'll vouch for you that you're in the note business. So anyway, guys, it has been for me, and I'm sure it has for Jarell. Zarina's had some big changes. She moved from Orlando to Ohio, but I guess you're back in Orlando for the winter, right, Zarina?
Actually, just for another month or so. Okay.
But I can tell you guys that it has been I feel like I've been blessed this year with family issues, with family things, and just it's been a good year, and I just wish all of you a safe and happy Christmas holiday season. You know, give the ones you love a big hug and let them know you know that, or they know that, and just, you know, sit back and relax and have a good time. Start working on your goals for 2016 and make sure that your goals are in alignment with your values, because if they're not, they'll never work. And just make sure that, you know, just enter into everything with a thankful heart, and just remember those that are less fortunate, and just we'll just help everybody we can. So anyway, I appreciate all of you. Zarina, I appreciate you as well. That video you did, I saw Monday or Tuesday, that Eddie sent to everybody, extraordinary. It really was good. You sounded like a professional radio personality, my dear.
Thank you.
You really did.
Yeah. I think everybody's going to get the link to that tomorrow or Monday. So,
Zarina
Eddie kind of did a sneak peek on Tuesday.
A great thing. It'll be coming out to you guys, and it's kind of like what to do while Colonial and Note School is going to close for the holidays. And she's just gone through and gave you, was it 5 points, Zarina, 4 or 5?
Yep, 5 things.
5 things to do over the holiday. So you'll get that. And just anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. But guys, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and all of that. And We'll talk to you. Are we doing calls Monday and Tuesday, Zarina? Do you know?
No. We're off till January 4th.
Okay, gotcha. So everybody, just send in your questions to content at Note School, and everybody will do their best to get them answered. Have a great
time. Yep. Help desk is open.
Help desk is open for business. Okay, Zarina, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, all.